Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Hey, this is another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart. Brian is actually taking a little bit of vacation out in Rhode Island.
Oh, wow.
Obviously, I know you all missed me last week.
We did. Absolutely.
I'm sure you did. Yeah. I enjoyed having a little bit of a break. It was nice. We took my daughter, my oldest daughter, Kelvie, down to, who's actually been on the program, down to Hannibal LaGrange University.
Now, is this her second year there?
No, this is actually her first. She did two years. Yeah, she got her associate's degree from DMAC.
Okay.
So now she's finishing up right now she thinks social work, and I think she'll probably stick with social work, but she'll get her bachelor's degree. So she'll be down there. You know, this is her first year there, so hopefully she'll finish up in 2 years. She's on track to be able to do that.
Good deal.
This year has represented quite a change because I think most of our listeners know, you know, my middle child, who I thought would stay in the house longer, once he graduated high school, is like, I'm gone. I'm moving out. You know, he did his EMT school, and now he's at least he's living in the area. Now, Kelvie is 3.5 hours away, which really isn't as that bad because she was looking originally at a school 9 hours away. So this is much, much better.
Yep.
We can even go down there in a day if we need to.
Certainly.
So that's been good. So, you know, that was a little bit hard last weekend, saying goodbye. And,
I
know she'll be back for the briefing October 15th. she'll probably come home before that too, I'm sure. But anyway, so that's lots of changes. Lillian's doing a CNA program with Central Campus, Des Moines Public Schools. So half the day, I work from home, if our listeners didn't know. So things are like really quiet. We're a homeschooling family, so I'm used to just a very kind of noisy house. Yep. And now it's just, in most mornings, it's just me and the dogs. So
that's quite a change.
It is.
Absolutely.
Very, very different. So anyway, we've got a special guest in studio with us. It's not that often we actually get studio guests, so thank you for braving this. Beth Lamb, she's the director?
State director.
State director of Child Evangelism Fellowship in Iowa. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Beth.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So you guys, first of all, how long has there been a CEF chapter in Iowa?
Oh, I think it goes back to the 70s, early 70s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And how long has the organization itself been around?
Oh, since 1937.
Okay.
Next year's our 80th anniversary.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize you guys were that old.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you don't look way over 79. So,
good thing it's radio.
So, no, it's, yeah, and be clear, Beth was not with CEF since the very beginning.
No.
How long have you been working with CEF?
Almost 20 years.
Almost 20 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm familiar with CEF, except my exposure was mainly when I was a youth pastor in Indiana. We had a very active chapter in Porter County in Valparaiso, Indiana, and they would do five-day clubs. Mm-hmm. But there's a new thing that you guys are doing that they didn't do in Porter County, because I think this was before the Equal Access Act. So this law was passed, the Equal Access Act. You probably can explain it better than I could.
Oh, sure. So we're able to be in public schools with after-school good news clubs. And it's really, as far as we're concerned, due to a U.S. Supreme Court ruling in June of 2001.
All right.
Yeah. New York State, not New York City, but New York State CEFs. It went all the way to the federal Supreme Court. The schools were trying to keep CEF out, saying you're a Bible club and
right.
we don't want that. But it's based on the equal access law that
right.
we can be in the school.
They were challenging it. They wanted to get, basically, it says if a school allows any type of club, extracurricular club in, they have to give equal access to. They can't discriminate against faith-based clubs.
Exactly. It takes parent permission for kids to come to clubs, so we're not just rounding up children. And that equal access includes handing out our flyers.
Okay.
If they distribute flyers for Boy Scouts or other things, then our flyers have to be distributed too.
Well, that's good, that, because it's hard to get kids to a club they know nothing about.
Exactly.
They don't even know when it takes place. So, how long have you guys been doing Good News Clubs here in Iowa?
In the schools, would you?
Mm-hmm.
Or just
it started, I guess, in general, and then when did you start going into the schools?
Oh, back to the 70s. In Iowa. And, of course, they used to be in homes and community centers and churches. More now that we can be in schools, you get a lot bigger attendance. But we were at the Family Leadership Summit in July with a display table, and lots of people would stop by our booth, and some people would say, "You still do Good News Clubs? I went to one when I was growing up." And one lady said, "That's where I learned everything." So does your heart good that, they're grown up now, and their beginning spiritually was maybe back at Good News Club.
Good deal. Good deal. I could say same. One of the responsibilities I had when I was a youth pastor in Indiana was over children's ministries.
Oh.
I was one of the few people enjoyed working with teenagers more than children. Mm-hmm. Usually it's the opposite. So I oversaw, but we had a very vibrant Awana program.
Oh, yeah.
And people would say, "Hey, they grow up, it's like, I memorized, I went through these books, I knew all these verses." And, Good News Clubs, I'm sure, is the same. So tell us a little bit about what Good News, for our listeners who may not be aware, what do Good News Clubs do? I think we can have a general sense of what the purpose of the club is based on the name, but I'll let you go ahead and describe that.
Yeah, it lasts for 1 hour, and it's one day a week. When we're in schools, it means that when the dismissal bell rings, that's the time that we gather. The kids come to the music room or band room or wherever the school lets us meet. And actually, it's about 1 hour and 15 minutes, so they can go to the restroom, eat a quick snack, and take off their backpack and all that. So it's 1 hour of teaching the club. It's a Bible lesson. They sing songs with the gospel in the songs, not just warm fuzzy songs that get the wiggles out, but it teaches God's truth. And so they go home with those songs in their mind. They learn one memory verse, what it means, how it applies to them. We play a review game about the Bible lesson to reinforce the teaching. The gospel is clearly presented every week, and we give the invitation to trust Christ. And we don't just lead them in a big group prayer. We take them aside and talk with them, open-ended questions to be sure they understand.
Right, because I prayed the prayer. Well, that's a magical thing. If you don't understand it, you don't mean it. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't save you. Prayer doesn't save you. Jesus saves
exactly. You. And it's between them and God. We don't know their heart, but as best we can, we want to be sure they understand the decision and what it means. And
so, let me ask you this about discipleship going forward with these kids when they receive Christ. How do you get them plugged into a local church?
Well, that is a good question, and that our threefold purpose is to evangelize boys and girls, disciple them in the Word of God in our clubs, and then help get them established in a local Bible teaching church. Some kids don't even know what a Bible is.
Right.
In Iowa.
Yeah.
Well,
they say, I knew about this Jesus guy. He's my friend.
Yeah. So what we really love is to partner with churches. So a church would adopt the nearby elementary school, and the church would have a team of maybe 4 or 5, 6 people that we would train on how to do a Good News Club. And when that church goes in to teach the club, they've got the perfect contact and opportunity to invite those unchurched kids and their families to their church.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and in studio we have the State Director for Child Evangelism Fellowship, Beth Lamb. We're talking about Good News Clubs. Beth, how many schools are you guys in right now in Iowa?
We're in 49. According to our statistics, we're in 49 schools.
Okay.
We're in places like Ankeny has 6 of them, and they're six of their elementary schools. Waterloo, Cedar Rapids, Marion, Bettendorf, Ottumwa, Boone, Marshalltown, Burlington, Sioux City, Council Bluffs, Oskaloosa, Pella, Knoxville, Adel.
No Des Moines? I'm not hearing Des Moines.
We've been there in the past. We don't have a team in a club, teaching a club right now.
Okay, listeners.
Yes.
There's a need here.
This is your chance.
We've got, how? Gosh, I don't even know how many elementary schools in Des Moines Public Schools, but they're lots and lots of opportunities. So if every church, there's like 300 some churches in, well, probably we're looking Bible believing, Bible teaching churches, probably much fewer than that. Even if we have 100 churches, if each church adopted a school, I mean, wow.
Wow is right.
Well, that would quite. Yeah, the triple how many schools you're in, they did that.
Yeah,
so,
just with adding
that. So come on, let's get with it, Des Moines. We could do this.
Well, you know what? And principals say, I mean, I teach a school Good News Club in Sioux City. And, you know, they say, we want you here. You're part of us. And when I called to schedule the club to start it for the new school year, it was a principal ago, not the current one. He said, we love, Ms. Beth, we love Good News Club. So
good deal.
Principals love it.
Yeah. So, okay. And he's happened all mostly after school, or
right.
Does any happen before school?
Mostly after school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And since you started going into schools, have you encountered any challenges, any you know, school districts say, you know what? No, thank you.
Well, you know, sometimes the larger the school district, the bigger the battle, the bigger the challenge.
Right.
But, you know, we do
have... or bureaucracy to have to cut
through. Yes. But we've had school districts change their policy when they see the equal access law and the deal. You know, even the policy of charging rent. One school district had a threefold brochure on what different groups are charged for using the facilities after school. And you can imagine which group was charged the highest amount was religious groups. Well, Liberty Council helps out our ministry
right.
at no cost. And they said, you can't do that. It has to be equal, fair across the board.
Well, yeah, even taking the Equal Access Act, that's just... discriminatory on the basis of the Constitution. They can't apply. It's a public facility. They can't have different rates for different groups.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't want to say the school district, but you know
sure.
what? They gave a refund. We had been there 3 years, and they refunded. Yeah, well, it was
cool.
the church that adopted
okay.
that school paid it, and they gave a refund. I could hardly... I can see changing the policy when you see what the law says, but it was big of them to give a refund.
Right, so, okay, outside of getting involved, you know, having a local church adopt, is there other ways that you know, individuals can get involved with CEF and Good News Clubs?
Oh, well, adopt a school and then be volunteers that go in. You know, we'll train.
Okay.
We'll come and train you, and our curriculum is not expensive by any means.
Okay.
And then... church people, you know, the ladies' cookies and, you know, the snacks.
Okay.
We need snack people.
You got to have food.
That's right.
Yeah, I can't imagine dealing with, you know, how many, what's the average size of a club?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, some of them are 30 kids, 40 kids. We've had 100 kids
that
staying after school.
That makes me tired just hearing about
well,
that.
Well, I know. 100, like, where are they coming from? And they just keep coming through the door, but what a great thing. And sometimes parents are welcome to come, and we love that. A small percentage of parents come, but mm-hmm. then we reach two generations at once because
right.
believe me, there's many parents who need to hear the gospel
absolutely.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I can understand a parent who, you know, I'm not so sure about this. I mean, that's just transparency too. We want them to be able,
yeah.
you want them
right.
to be able to
mm-hmm.
see.
Mm-hmm.
When I was, you know, again, when I was a youth pastor, our parents were always welcome to, so you guys drop by Sunday school, you drop by youth group anytime.
Yeah.
See what's going on
mm-hmm.
with your kid, because this is, you know, we're a supplement to what you're doing as a parent, and you're working. Obviously, I worked with mainly church kids. You're working about how many of your kids are typically unchurched?
Well, a big percentage. You know, the club I teach had I think 35 kids enrolled last year. So this registration form. Blank on this one, but
uh-huh.
anyway, it just has a blank that says church. It just says yes or no. It doesn't even ask what church you go to,
okay,
and that kind of thing. Only 9 out of those 35 went to a church.
Wow!
And some of them would put NA, like not applicable. And you know, I'm thinking you gotta be kidding. I mean, it used to be if you asked people if you go to church, they'd say, well, no, but. We're looking for one. You know, kind of like we're in the process, but
right,
we're not going.
Right.
To say not applicable means we're not going. We don't go and we
don't plan
don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, really.
Definitely a cultural shift.
It is. I really think it is.
And so, you know, and you're Northwest Iowa is probably more church than some of the other communities, you know, in Iowa. And Iowa in general is more church than, I can't even imagine if you were like doing a Good News Club in New England, what that would be like.
Right, right. Yes, definitely. Yeah, liberal.
Mm-hmm.
But we got into the Iowa City schools just like, really, just like that. I thought that might be our battle, but filled out the facilities request form and got right in.
Oh, good.
So we don't know. It's all
gone. So hopefully you're reaching some professors' kids.
Yeah.
So some success stories.
Oh, well, let me see. You know, we train teenagers age 14 and older to teach 5-day clubs. Then in the summer,
yeah, we got about a minute and a half left. Just
okay, Christian Youth in Action. One that club I teach in Sioux City. It's in kind of a needy neighborhood. There's a boy that came to club since he was in second grade. Now for 3 summers, he's been a summer missionary teaching backyard Bible clubs.
Cool.
It's like, yeah, when you see him kind of grow and go through that, it's like, wow.
And just briefly, a backyard Bible club is like a VBS in somebody's backyard.
Yes,
right?
Going where the children are, because many of them don't come through the doors of the church.
Which I think that's awesome. And I'd like to see more churches get involved. Again, how can people find out more?
Well, you can email me at, I got to think what it is, iowacef@yahoo.com.
Okay.
We also have a webpage, cefofiowa.org. And then I have a phone number, 712-274-6217.
Say that again.
712-274-6217.
So I just want to encourage your listeners, if God's put on your heart to get involved in this ministry, you know, give Beth a call. Don't just go to your pastor and say, hey, pastor, I think we should do this. Say to the pastor, I'd like us to do this and I'll lead it. Because pastors already have enough on their plate. They need people to step up and lead these things. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance you need. So, I was a little ambitious last segment when we were talking to Beth. I mentioned we could get 100 schools covered. Well, I just went on Des Moines Public Schools website. They only have 38 elementaries. So, we could do 3 clubs in each school, or actually maybe just 100% of the schools.
There you go.
100%. But, you know, if we, there's probably, well, shoot, I don't even want to say there's 100 elementaries in central Iowa in our listening area, but just imagine if we can cover every single elementary school in our listening area.
That'd be great.
That would be sweet. So I know God's placing that on some of the hearts of some of our listeners, because the kids need the gospel, and we can't expect families in a day and age where we have this post-Christian culture that they're going to come to us. We have to go to them. And I think Jesus said something about going, not waiting and trying to attract them to your church. I'm not going to bash an attractional style of evangelism. I think it has its place, but the gospel, we're supposed to go into the world. You know, we're supposed to be witnesses in, you look at Acts 1:8 in Judea and Jerusalem. It Samaria and the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. Samaria would be kind of like people who are not quite like us, but are our neighbors. Next door, our neighbors across the street, across the town, people not like us, and then to the ends of the earth. So often I think we focus on overseas missions and maybe evangelism, like right with people we know and are comfortable with. Mm-hmm. This is a great opportunity to kind of break out of our comfort zone, but the church to, you know, get into the local schools,
yep,
which I know probably scares the dickens out of ACLU. which makes me smile. And this is kind of, I bring this up because it's kind of a good segue into what one of the couple of things I want to talk about this segment. First Liberty Institute released 25 facts about religious liberty in school. Now that we're going, you know, kids are back in school, or some will be after Labor Day weekend going back into school. I think most of the Des Moines area schools have already, I know Des Moines public schools have started. I think mm-hmm. most of the Des Moines area schools have already started. Students, and for just some, I want to run through the facts here. Students and educators do have First Amendment rights inside public schools. They don't shed their First Amendment rights when they go through the public schools. There's actually a Supreme Court case in 1968 called Tinker v. Des Moines Public Schools, believe it or not.
Oh, that one. Yes.
Where it was Vietnam era, and kids wanted to wear black armbands in the schools, and Des Moines Public Schools tried to restrict them from doing that, and the Supreme Court says a student's First Amendment rights are not shed at the school door. So that's important to know. Students also, in fact, number two, can speak about their faith even when their teachers must be neutral. So if you are a teacher in Des Moines Public School, or not Des Moines, any public school, you personally can't be proselytizing in your classroom. They would have the right to fire you if you did that. But your students can talk about their faith. They can write about their faith. They can, as long as they're not disruptive, you know, in class, you have to be neutral. Hopefully, I think teachers on the flip side should be neutral if they can't talk about their faith. Teachers who are antagonistic or atheists shouldn't be able to bash the Christian faith either in class.
Yep.
But students can speak about it. Schools also, number three, can't treat religious activity differently than any other activity. That's what we were talking about, good news clubs. Because the Equal Access Act, schools can't say to, you know, Boy Scouts, yes, you can meet here, but tell Youth for Christ or Good News Club, no, you can't use our school facilities. They have to, you know, allow that if they allow other outside groups. Fact number four, students can pray during lunch, recess, or other designated free time. That should be just a no-brainer, but schools have actually in the past tried to restrict that kind of behavior, which is appalling. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah,
so... also, this coincides with fact number five. Students can pray silently during a school's moment of silence. So, again, school cannot restrict kids from praying, reading their Bible, which is fact number six. Students can read the Bible or other religious materials at school. Fact number seven, students can share their faith with fellow students during free times when they could discuss other topics like the movie they just saw, or their weekend plans. So the school can't say, no, you can't talk about your faith during lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
I can. because I didn't shed my First Amendment rights when I entered the school door. Schools, also, fact number eight, can acknowledge religion. I'm not entirely sure what that entails necessarily, but they don't have to be completely secular. They can, you know, bring up, well, like in history class, I mean, I don't think mm-hmm. you're doing a very good job with history if you're not bringing up, the religious aspect of history and the Christian influence in history. Number nine, students can pray either individually or as a group at school athletic competitions, student assemblies, or other extracurricular activities when school officials are not involved. The key to most on-campus during the school day things is that it's student led. That's the key.
So does that mean basically it can't be an outside organization coming in and then leading a prayer
right,
or something like that?
Yeah. Now, now, as a youth pastor, I would train my students to do this. I'd even help organize, help mobilize them to do it. But when the rubber meets the road, they actually had to implement. They had they had to lead it. They had, because I couldn't be involved on campus. I'd find ways to get on campus to, you know, because I used to do things like I would monitor lunchroom. I would eat lunch with kids. When I was an interim youth pastor in Pella, I would actually go buy a pizza and bring it into school and just share it with whoever, you know, and talk. Mainly me with my kids, but, you know, I wasn't going to say another kid that sat down to have, no, you can't have a slice of pizza.
Yeah.
But of course, hey, yeah, have some pizza. But, you know, I couldn't lead them in prayer when I was there. I would DJ occasionally when I was a youth pastor. I'd actually DJ a dance, which that was, I did that with fear and trepidation. You know, there's just things I just couldn't do. But students can do, they're free, completely free, provided they don't disrupt the school day. Let's see, in many cases, students also can pray at graduation ceremonies or include religious content in their speeches. Okay. That's fact number 11. Fact number 12, a public school can refer to Christmas and have a Christmas party if the intent is not to advance Christianity. So we've gotten so out of our minds about you know, separation of church and state that it's like you can't, they feel like they can't even talk about Christmas. Well, that's hogwash. By the way, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're just talking about since we're going back to school, kids are going back to school, teachers are going back to school, parents are dealing with kids going back to school. You get the idea. We're talking about what are your religious rights? What are our students' religious rights when they go to school? And the First Liberty Institute has released 25 facts about our religious liberty in school, and I'm going to just hit a couple more, and I want to encourage you to go to caffeinatedthoughts.com because we got the whole list up there. Here's something that's important to remember. A public school district cannot be hostile toward religious beliefs. They can't. So we need to keep that in mind. Also, if you're a teacher and you're listening, teachers and other public school employees can discuss religion with students as cultural and historical education or when asked by a student. So you can answer questions. Also, teachers and other public employees can discuss religion with other teachers or other school employees. A public school or teacher cannot limit religious, also they can't, you can't limit religious speech by students unless they limit other speech. Obviously, if they're trying to pipe up during class and you're trying to lecture, then that's, you know, obviously appropriate. Mm-hmm. Anyway, go check that list out. We got to move on because I want to talk about another event. You want to play clip number one?
Sure. Let me pull it out here.
Coming this September, all around the globe, students will gather for one purpose. It's not about politics or power. It's not about making a statement. It is about prayer. So join the movement. Stand with your friends. See you at the poll.
Wednesday, September 28th, 2016.
Head to SYATP.com for details.
So, yes, see you at the poll, September 28th. Their theme is "We Cry Out, a Generation Seeking Him." That's based on Psalm 24, 3-6, which reads, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol or sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face." If you're not familiar with See at the Poll, it's an annual event that's existed since, I think the first one was in 1990. Fourth Wednesday of every September.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always at 7 a.m. and it's at your school's flagpole. So this started off with just a handful of kids in Burlington, Texas. They came together for what's called Discipleship Now weekend. It was a Southern Baptist thing. They came seeking God and they decided we're going to go pray for our schools. And they just ended up praying around different school flagpoles. And God used that to spark a movement where there was a conference and they talked about what these kids did and they challenged other kids to do this. And they set a date, and on September 12th, 1990, more than 45,000 teenagers met their school flagpoles in four different states to pray before the start of school. And more than now, it's become a worldwide movement.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, you know, lots of Des Moines area schools participate. Again, it has to be student-led.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to encourage you guys to, if you have high school, it's mainly junior and senior high school students, even elementary school students can do it. You can find a lot of resources at syatp.com. I'm probably going to do a write-up at caffeinatedthoughts.com as well, so you have some information there. But again, there's a couple different ways you can get involved. You got the day, see you at the poll day. It's on Wednesday. We already talked about September 28th at 7 a.m. at local time all around the globe in every time zone. Students will gather at Flagpole Spring for the schools, families, friends, churches, communities, and see what the poll is, a day committed to global unity in Christ and prayer for, you know, the student kids generation. Mm-hmm. Then you got the Global Week of Student Prayer, which is Sunday, September 25th through Saturday, October 1st, which encourages students to find new and unique ways, places, and times to pray throughout the week. Whether you attend a public school, private school, or homeschool, gather your friends wherever and whenever and pray. The Global Week of Student Prayer is dedicated to prayer and launching on-campus Bible clubs, prayer strategies, student ministries. So it's a great event. I encourage you guys to find out more, syatp.com. Talk to your pastor or youth pastor if your church has one. Ask them how our kids, are they aware of See at the Pole? Are you encouraging this?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's a one-day thing, but it shouldn't only be a one-day thing. It should be a launch to an orchestrated outreach to high school and junior high campuses. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give them a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. Obama wants to give away the internet. You may be aware of this. You may not be aware of this. This has actually been an issue for all summer long. but it's getting close. The handoff is actually supposed to be September 30th, this month. The U.S. Department of Commerce approved the final plan for the transition, and they're basically literally giving control of the internet over to the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN. You might be familiar with ICANN because they generally do maintenance on domain name servers. So typically, if you do any search on domain names, ICANN information will come up. Some people are saying, "Oh, this is just going to be a clerical thing." There's actually a lot more at stake than this. Senator Ted Cruz actually did a video back in June, which we're going to play the audio of, that helps explain the issue. So let's go ahead and play clip two.
The internet. America invented it, and it has proven to be an amazing oasis of freedom. Free speech. Each of us able to speak our views online. And free enterprise. Millions of new businesses able to be opened online without any government pre-approval. But all of that could change. Right now, the Obama administration is trying to push through a radical proposal to give away control of the internet to foreign countries. From the very first days of the internet, the American government has maintained domain names and ensured equal access to everyone with no censorship whatsoever. Obama wants to give that power away to an international body called ICANN, which would empower countries like Russia and China and Iran. This internet giveaway poses a great threat to our country's freedom and our national security. Russia and China and Iran don't have a First Amendment. They don't protect free speech, and they actively censor the internet. ICANN could do the same thing, putting foreign countries in charge of what you can say online, prohibiting speech that they disagree with. Foreign governments are already planning to take ICANN and move it overseas so that it not only escapes U.S. law, but in effect turns into a mini United Nations. Unfortunately, Congress hasn't been willing to affirmatively act to prevent this giveaway before the transfer date on September 30th, 2016. That's why I've introduced the Protecting Internet Freedom Act to immediately stop this transfer and protect American sovereignty. Time is running out, and it's going to take the power of the American people and Congress to save the internet. We must keep the internet free. Free of taxes, free of regulation, and free of censorship. America built the internet, and we shouldn't be giving it away to our enemies.
Love the dramatic music there. But no, it's true. The internet is an American invention. It was initially created by our for military use, and then was, you know, they expanded it and opened up for civilian use. The idea that we would just give this away to an organization that, you know, initially, are we going to see anything happen? Probably not. But it opens the door. It opens the possibility where that wasn't a possibility before, when the U.S. government was in control, provided you, well, could the U.S. government actually do some of the same things you're saying foreign governments might do? Absolutely, yes. But they haven't been for years, and they've been... the internet's been free of regulation and free of censorship. So we like to see it that way. So call up your senator and representative. I believe Sean Duffy, Congressman Sean Duffy, sponsored the bill, the House version of the bill that Senator Cruz had introduced in the Senate, the free Keep the Internet Free Act. Anyway, just say, call up your representative and your senators and say, we don't want the U.S. to give up the control of the internet. Thank you very much. Can you act on this like before September 30th, please?
Indeed.
Because I know at Caffeinated Thoughts, we like a free internet. We thrive with the free internet. That's the reason why we exist. Mm-hmm. So this is important. Want to move on here. Another, I read an interesting article by Caitlin Flanagan at The Atlantic. I originally heard about it I was listening to Al Mohler's podcast. And the title of the article is How Helicopter Parenting Can Cause Binge Drinking. Now, this is, some of the things that she wrote is, it fascinated me that she said this The Atlantic is not exactly a conservative bastion of thought. It's a very liberal magazine. But she talked about good parents versus get real parents. Good parents, she said, writes, think that alcohol is dangerous for young people and that riotous drunkenness and its various consequences have nothing to recommend them. These parents enforce the law and create a family culture that supports their beliefs. Get real parents think the high school kids have been drinking since Jesus left Chicago. I'm not sure Jesus was ever in Chicago, at least not physically.
A little reference to ZZ Top there, actually.
Is it?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, I'm showing. Okay. Well, she said she went to high school in the 70s, so that makes sense. And it's folly to pretend the new generation won't as well. The horror stories, awful accidents, alcohol poisonings, lawsuits, tend to involve parents who didn't do it right, who neglected to provide some level of adult supervision, or who forgot to forbid anyone to get in the car after drinking. Get real parents understand that learning to drink takes a while and often starts with a baptism of fire. Better off for Charlotte to barf her guts out on the new sectional than the shadowy basement of a distant fraternity house. On the nights of big high school events, get real parents, pay for limos, party buses, Ubers, whatever it takes to ensure that their kids are safe. What is an Uber except a new kind of bike helmet? In the beginning, everyone is a good parent. Bring up teen drinking among parents of elementary school students and elicit the same shiver horror and the word adolescent as the word adolescence itself. But slowly people start defecting. At first, it's easy to demonize the ones who chuckle fondly about their kids' boozy misadventures, but by junior year, it feels as though everyone is telling these funny stories. The good parents comprise a smaller and smaller cohort, and one that tends to stay quiet about its beliefs. Get real parents can be bullies. They love to roll their eyes at the good parents, so it's best not to expose yourself. But she's saying what's really common sense.
Yeah.
You can't. There's no point in teaching your kid to be good at drinking. You should be talking about, hello.
Yeah.
All you're doing is, if you're a get real parent, all you're doing is empowering it. And we could apply the same principle to when it comes to, say, sex. Good parents will say, wait until marriage. And here's some strategies you can employ. So they'll help you wait until marriage,
mm-hmm.
Because God has created sex. It's good within the confines of marriage. That's where he's blessed it. You have all these other circumstances that occur when you have it outside of marriage, but we want to empower you, and we want to provide some guidelines and some boundaries to help you protect your purity. That's what a good parent does. A get real parent says, well, okay, just be safe. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw some condoms at you and make sure you use them. And I'm going to demand the school teaches comprehensive sex education. So because it's kind of icky for me to talk to you about that. So, we want to make sure that you're safe and you're responsible and you only have sex with the person you love.
Mm.
yeah. What is that going to do? That's going to encourage. Well, we saw this in the 80s.
Yep.
They encouraged safe sex. What happened? More sex.
Mm-hmm.
And more STDs and more teenage pregnancies. So it doesn't work. The only thing that works 100% of the time is abstinence. Go figure. Hey, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map dots, New York to L.A. We were teenage dreaming, front seat leaning. Baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, Uptown, Down Home American Kids.
You can't believe you messed up so badly. You have asked God to forgive you, but can you forgive yourself? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Kicking yourself for your past sins will not give you the peace you want. The more you dwell on it, the more hopeless your situation will seem. God says that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Having a clean slate should fill a heart with joy. But why do some people hang on to their guilt? Some reasons are a personal lack of victory over sin, pride, bitterness, as well as ignorance of God's teaching on forgiveness. Learning what allows guilt to hang around is critical to applying God's solution for internal peace and joy. We would love to help you experience that. Please call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Hey, you know, we have our briefing coming up pretty soon, the Caffeinated Thoughts Briefing. 2016 is a Christian Worldview Conference for students and adults that will be held on Saturday, October 15th, 2016, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Johnston. As the church intersects with their society and culture, how should Christians individually and the church collectively respond to, for instance, the rise of ISIS and Islamic terrorism, including homegrown terrorism, to the LGBTQ agenda and to those who promote it, to the growing threat to our religious liberty, to the abortion industry and the culture of death our courts continue to defend, to a culture that is increasingly hostile to our faith and biblical truth. Caffeinated Thoughts Briefing 2016 will be held at the Johnston Lions Club. That's on Merle Hay Road in Johnston, Iowa. Go to ctbriefing2016.com. Again, that's ctbriefing2016.com. Or go to caffeinatedthoughts.com and click the Caffeinated Thoughts Briefing link at the top of the page. Hopefully you check it out and register online. And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable, yet you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up!
This story is from Christchurch, New Zealand. A New Zealand library is testing an unusual method to deter fight-happy teenagers from loitering. A sonic device designed to repel mosquitoes. Christchurch officials said the $982 device, I don't know if that's in New Zealand dollars or if that's U.S. dollars, emits a high-pitched sound detectable only by young ears. It was installed outside the, forgive me if I mispronounce this, the Pananu Library, where loitering teens are known to frequently get into fights.
Ooh.
Who goes to a library to go fight? I guess teenagers in New Zealand. Go figure. The mosquito device emits a noise that is undetectable by adults because we're getting, you know, more and more deaf. And it proves uncomfortable to youth if they spend any length of time in close proximity. The alarm is on all the time, Erica Rankin, acting head of libraries for the Christchurch City Council, told the press. Lexi Narby, 16, a student at nearby Papanu High School, said she can hear the noise outside the facility, but it doesn't cause her any discomfort. She said the noise could be drowned out by simply talking loud enough.
Mm.
Interesting. The New Zealand Council for Civil Liberties noted the Council of Europe previously declared the usage of sonic mosquito repelling devices to be a violation of human rights. That could be a story right there in and of
that
itself.
That could be.
The Council of Europe called for the devices to be banned in Britain.
Hmm.
And we wonder why Britain left the European Union.
There you go.
Or they're in process of leaving the European Union. So here I have students having to hear a high pitched noise is against their human rights.
I'm actually kind of surprised that most kids would be able to hear it due to noise exposure from like earbuds and things like that.
You'd
think that would be a factor somewhat.
I think this is probably probably a misuse of taxpayer money. Here's an idea. How about just have somebody go outside for, you know, every once in a while and chase kids away?
Yeah, get out of here.
At least make sure they're not, you know, they're not fighting. I mean, if they're just hanging out outside, let them be. But if they're fighting, okay, yeah, you don't want kids fighting outside, but them just loitering. I could think of worse places for them to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're going to try to scare them away from the library? How about, hey, you know, the outside is cool, but you know what's even cooler?
What's inside?
Come inside and do something called reading. It's a great activity that will keep you out of trouble and expand your horizons in your imagination.
Go try it sometime. Anyway, you can send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. We'll give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and Shane Van Aart signing off. We'll see you next week, everybody.